you very much. Would you just confirm that you're on the call when I call out your name? Thank you. Keith Dravis?
Here.
Donna Austin? I see Donna is on the call. Maybe she's on mute. Ruben Skool?
I'm here.
Thank you. James Bladel? James is definitely on the call. Jennifer Sandiford is absent, and she has given her proxy to Volker Greimann. Volker Greimann?
Is present.
Valerie Tan is absent, and she has given her proxy to Ruben Skool. Phil Corwin?
Present.
Susan Kravaguchi?
Present.
Paul McGrady? I think Paul is on the call. Heather Forrest is absent, and she has given her proxy to Paul McGrady. Tony Harris?
I'm here.
Wolfo Lutznobin will be a bit late coming on the call. Maria Maxiel is absent, and she has given her proxy to Ed Morris. Amar El-Sadar? I have not seen Amar on the call yet. David Cake? David did warn me that he might oversleep, and he would like to give his proxy to someone. Are you on the call, David?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you. Ed Morris?
I'm here, Glenn.
Stefania Milne? Stefania Milne? I see her on the Adobe Connect. Stephanie Perrin?
Present.
Yulf Hersinger?
Here.
I see Amar has just joined the call, thank you. Carlos Gutierrez is absent, and he sent his apologies. Olivier Cabin-Leblanc?
Present.
Patrick Miles is absent, and he sent his apologies. Mason Cole?
Present.
And for staff, we have David Olive, Marika Cornes, Julie Headland, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, Chief Steve Chan, and myself, Glenn DeSangerie. I don't know if Mary Wong has joined us yet. I know it is in the middle of the night for her because she's in Singapore. Good. Thank you very much, James, and over to you.
Okay. Thank you, Glenn, and thanks, everyone, and welcome to the GNSO conference call for December 17, 2015, and it's our last call of the year. We have a very full agenda, as you can see here on the screen, but first off, does anyone have any updates or changes to their statements of interest or any other announcements relative to their status as counselors? If so, please indicate by raising your hand in the Adobe chat room or get my attention some other way. Okay, seeing none, please take a look at the agenda, which is on the right-hand column of the Adobe chat window and was also circulated on the list yesterday. There's been one minor adjustment to the agenda in that we've changed the sequence to move the vote on the GAC communique item 6. We moved that up from item 7 to try to get some of the faster items out of the way earlier on so that we can devote the bulk of the call to the two items that will probably consume most of our discussions, which is item 8 on the CCWG and item 7, which is the motion for endorsements to the CCT review team. So with that in mind, if there are no questions or concerns, we'll just move right on into the agenda, unless anyone has any other proposed edits to the sequence of our work today. Okay, seeing no hands, we'll just move right into the, well, I guess we have one other item here, which is item 1.4, the status of the minutes for previous council meetings. They were posted on the 5th of December, according to the list here, and if anyone has any questions there, please direct them to me or to Glenn. So we'll just move in then to item 2, which is the open project list, and if we could ask staff to put that into the review, into the screen, please. When that comes up, I'll note that there's been a change here to the status list, and that Marika has very helpfully color-coded the open project list to reflect items that are either in progress or items that will be addressed later on in our agenda or items that are closed. So the goal here, of course, is to try to move through these action items a little bit more quickly. I know that sometimes we can sometimes get bogged down in going through these individual items, particularly when they refer to items that come up later in our agenda. So perhaps, Marika, if you don't mind, could you walk us through, first introduce us to your new color coding system, and then walk us through the action items?
Yes, thanks, James. So basically what we try to do is the action items, which you see up on the screen, is something that we capture after each council meeting. It's on the wiki, accessible to everyone interested. We basically try to capture the items that directly come out of that meeting and are expected to be addressed either, you know, prior to the next meeting or shortly thereafter, and which most of such are not specifically covered in the project list, which, as you know, is a separate document. So what we've done to kind of facilitate that review by the council at the start of your meetings is to color code those items that, you know, the ones in blue are items that are actually coming back on the agenda, so can be covered at a later point in the conversations. And we coded the ones in green that have already been completed since the last meeting. So it basically leaves the white items in there that are either being addressed or, you know, still basically open items, and I can very quickly walk through those. There are two items that are still on hold, and I guess at some point the council will need to decide whether you still want to keep those on hold, you know, reactivate those or remove those. And the INGO recommendations, I believe we're still waiting on input or feedback from the board following their conversations with the GAC on some of the outstanding recommendations that are on the board's agenda for consideration. The Genus Liaison to the GAC, that group is actively working on the items that have been identified here, which is the review of the Genus Liaison, as well as some other items in relation to the quick look mechanism. A collaboration with the IETF, that is still on here, but it's probably an item that we may want to move into the Marrakesh meeting planning, as I think there was an agreement or at least support on the last meeting that it should be considered inviting IETF representatives to our sessions in Marrakesh to discuss what, if anything, can be done to enhance or facilitate collaboration and sharing of information between the two groups. There's an outstanding action item on the global public interest framework, and from the staff side, we followed up with Nora, and our understanding is that feedback on that specific item is should be forthcoming shortly. The Genus operating procedures in relation to selection of board seat number 13, as well as the changes to the operating procedures as a result of the data and metrics for policymaking final report, those are in the making. We hope that the revised procedures will get posted shortly, and this is also linked together with the recommendations of the policy implementation working group. So we're basically trying to publish the updated ICANN bylaws as well as Genus operating procedures at the same time with all these changes, so we don't have to make multiple changes of multiple versions of documents. So, again, that's a work in progress. And then the next generation, GGLD RDS, just to mark that we anticipate launching the call for volunteers at the latest by the 4th of January. And as you may have seen, we published a blog post basically communicating to the broader community what the current status is and what the next anticipated steps are. And I think that covers all the white items, and all the other items on the list are either completed or will be addressed further down in the agenda of the meeting.
Okay, thank you, Marika. I appreciate you walking us through those. And just one note here that I believe we can consider marking the next generation GTLD RDF from white to green, because I know that we passed the motion here on the council during our last meeting, but I know that we are waiting until the early part of the next year to formally launch the PDP. So it's really a matter of discretion whether or not it's colored white or green, but hopefully the color coding makes sense to folks and helps to make this a little bit less of an intimidating document and readily highlight those items that are still active within the GNSO versus those that are completed and will probably move off of this list for our next meeting in January. So thank you, Marika, and I do think this is an improvement. Does anyone have any questions, concerns, or items that they'd like to address? Bill and MTQ, okay. All right, well, thank you for that. And we can move then to, I believe, the project list. While we wait for that to load. Everyone has individual Zoom control here. If your eyesight is starting to fail you like mine is, you might want to make that a little bit larger. Okay, so this is the open project list, and you can see it's sort of the pipeline here of where we are walking through items that are in various phases of development, from issue identification through scoping, through the working group itself, council deliberations, and board vote. I don't know if there's anything here necessarily that needs our immediate attention. I would note that the issue identification of the council action items list would be one way for items to be promoted from that list to here. I see Phil has his hand up, so Phil. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to report to the other council members that you may recall I'm co-chair of the Working Group on Curative Rights Protections for IGOs. We've kind of been stuck in place since Buenos Aires because we've needed expert legal advice on the view of sovereign immunity of IGOs. I'm happy to report that ICANN has allocated funds and we have retained a legal expert at George Washington University to answer the working group's questions in that regard. I met with him for an hour last Friday, and we expect to have his final report before the end of January, which will allow us to start moving forward again and complete our work. The best we could do pre-Marrakesh probably would be a preliminary report, not a final report, but we're going to push hard once we get that legal opinion. And that's it. Just wanted to bring you up to date on that.
Okay, thanks, Phil. In fact, I appreciate the update, and I think that that is also mentioned in our response to the GAC Dublin communique. So when we get to that point, could you maybe put a little bit of extra scrutiny on that response and fill in any detail that you feel might be missing since that response was drafted?
Sure.
But I think that's good, and we want to make that as timely as possible. The only other question I have, and it's probably for Marika and perhaps Susan, is that the Privacy Proxy Services Accreditation Group, PPSAI, at some point, I believe, should be promoted from working group status down to number 5, council deliberations, because the working group, to my understanding, has issued its final report. There is a motion on our agenda today to consider that. I note that Susan Kawaguchi mentioned that there's a possibility of a deferral on that motion, but nevertheless, it is on our agenda. So I would perhaps suggest that move from working group status to deliberation status. So, any other thoughts, questions, comments, or edits to this project list? Oh, this group is letting me off easy today. Okay, well, we'll get this updated as a result of this meeting and circulate a new list short order before our next council meeting. So that brings us to agenda item number 3, which is the consent agenda and is currently empty. So we won't spend any time on the consent agenda. We'll move instead to item number 4, which is the initiation of a policy development process for GTLD subsequent rounds. Now, this was a motion that was presented by Donna, and it was seconded earlier today by Valerie. And I'd like to turn the floor over to Donna to introduce the motion and take us through the whereas clauses. Donna, if you don't mind. Donna, are you able to join audio or? Okay. Why don't I walk through the motion then? If Donna's able to join, we'll get her to discuss through it as well. So just starting with the whereas clauses, I think everyone's fairly familiar with the context of the of the two motions, but it is in two parts, one for the initiation of the PDP and one for the approval of the charter of the PDP working group. So I'll just start with the top one here and note that the GNSO Council hereby initiates PDP to consider and analyze issues discussed in the final issues report on new GTLD subsequent procedures, determine whether changes or adjustments to the existing policy recommendations in the final report on the introduction of new generic top-level domains are needed. The outcome of the PDP may lead to, one, amending or overriding existing policy principles, recommendations, and implementation guidelines, two, developing new policy recommendations, and or three, supplementing or developing new implementation guidance. And the GNSO Council requests that the PDP working group be convened as soon as possible to fulfill the requirements of this PDP. The second part of the motion deals with the charter and is resolved as the GNSO Council approves the charter and appoints PBD as the GNSO Council liaison to the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP working group. The Council directs ICANN staff to issue a call for volunteers for the PDP no later than 7 days after the approval of this motion. And three, until such time as the working group selects a chair, that chair is confirmed by the council, then the council liaison shall serve as the interim chair. So that is the motion as it reads today. And does anyone have any comments or questions on that? We can open the queue for discussion of this motion prior to prior to proceeding. I know Stephanie in the chat put something earlier relative to the CCT review. And I did see your comment earlier, Stephanie, and I would note that we're trying to move through these things quickly so that we can have sufficient time to discuss the CCT review endorsements just coming up on item 7. So any feedback on the motion that's on the table? And that's to you, Phil.
Yeah, just two quick questions. One, is this the charter we debated at length in Buenos Aires regarding the working group not completing its work until it had the benefit of the affirmation of commitment review? Is this the same one that we debated back in Buenos Aires?
Good question, Phil. I'm not 100% clear if it is the same one. Marika, is this the same charter that we were talking about in Buenos Aires, or has it been?
This is Marika. Sorry, I had to get off mute. No, I think we were talking about the, I think that was one of the discussion items in relation to the RPM preliminary issue report, where I think it was one of the questions, how that would feed into that potential PDP, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. Well, that relates to the other question, which is this, I'm just trying to understand, this talks about a review and possibly adjustment of existing policy recommendations. How is this going to be coordinated with the RPM review? Comments have closed on that, but we haven't yet decided how to how that's going to move forward, whether it's going to be in one big PDP or two separate PDPs, one on the RPMs, one on UDRP, all of that. But the RPMs are one of the biggest new policies for the program, and are they going to be considered in both, or is this PDP going to leave the RPMs to the other one? And I'm not arguing for specific outcome. I'm just trying to understand the relationship between the two.
That's a good question, Phil. I see Mary has raised her hand. Maybe she has some insight she can lend us on this. Mary?
Thanks, James, and thanks, Phil, for the question. Not so much insight, but obviously the council would vote on that PDP after this one. And, you know, depending on what the ultimate recommendation and the staff vote and the staff recommendation and the council vote is, there is a possibility that the charter for this group could be expanded if the decision for the RPMs is indeed to make that one part of this. And my understanding is the way the charter for this one is drafted, as with most working group charters, that is already a possibility foreseen, and so the council may have a decision to make then. But the point here is that this question, while relevant, should not prevent the council from voting on this charter today.
Okay, thank you, Mary. So if I'm understanding you correctly, you're saying that if and when the charter for the other effort, the RPM review, is adopted, that this charter could be expanded to include that?
That's correct, James. In other words, the vote on this one should not wait for the result on that one.
So, okay, so my question as a follow-up to, I think, to Phil's point is, if indeed we proceed in that route and this group has already been convened and has begun its work, then would how would we kind of chase and catch up to the train if it's already left the station?
Hi, James. That's a good question. And obviously, there is a question about the catch-up, but our current assumption on the staff side is that even if some or all of the RPM work were to become part of this one, it would be a relatively discrete type of item, which would, of course, necessarily expand the scope of this PDP. It may, down the line, require some adjustments, for example, to the work plan of this PDP working group. But, of course, that is also something for this working group to try to work out, because, as you know, one of the requirements for these working groups is to develop their work plan after they're chartered. The hope is that because the final issue report and therefore the council vote for the RPM potential PDP would come very quickly after this one, that any kind of catch-up that might be necessary would likely be fairly minimal, because this group would not have progressed all that far in its work that it would require a huge gap to be filled.
Okay. Thank you, Mary, and I think I understand it. I think Phil raised an interesting point of just how these two groups will play off of each other. I think that is something that we are seeing more and more, whether we're looking at this issue, new GTLDs, or if we're looking at other issues like RDS, privacy proxy, and other issues that have dependencies that span multiple working groups. So my thought, and this is just to try to put a button on this, is to Phil's point is that we do proceed with this PDP, but we make a note that when the time comes to approve the charter for that other dependent piece of work, that it acknowledges that this work is underway and either either merge that or draw a discrete difference between the two. Okay, thanks for helping us untangle that one, Mary. And I saw Phil's hand go back up. I don't know if you wanted to respond to that, Phil, or if you...
Well, I just want to make sure I understand. So as I understand it, when we deal with the review of RPMs and all TLDs, if no matter how we deal with that, if we decide to go ahead with a review of the RPMs, that work would fall to this. We could put it into this working group. We could make clear they want. The one thing I didn't want to see was to have two separate working groups looking at the RPMs and making and looking at their effectiveness and making recommendations for changes. That would be potential for mass confusion to have two different working groups looking at the same subject. But as
I agree,
it, this group that we're approving today could handle that if we decide to go forward with that RPM review.
That's exactly my understanding, Phil, is that we would, because this one is further down the pipeline, we would go ahead and start with this one and leave the put the placeholder down that there is a second dependency coming down the pipe that could be attached to this working group at that time. So, yeah, that's my understanding as well, and I agree with you. Is the issue is we don't want two separate working groups looking at the same policies and making perhaps conflicting changes, recommendations for conflicting changes. Next up in the queue is Amr. Go ahead, Amr.
Thanks, James. This is Amr. I just wanted to convey a few thoughts on this issues report as a result of a discussion we had on our monthly non-commercial stakeholder call a couple days ago. No one from the NCSG has expressed any concern with the substance of the issues report. However, there were other concerns that were raised, mainly a recurring one on volunteer burnout and starting this PDP at this point. Other concerns, including that there are some issues pertaining that have yet included, and wouldn't some folks prefer to have seen that before moving on to a new PDP. Some of these mentioned may have been a lack of analysis of what the problems were with the last round. Others were issues of applicants from previous rounds who are still in contracting right now, and so there are multiple issues that may not have been addressed, and might have been necessary to take a closer look at before starting a new PEP. I will also note that the NCSG did not submit
a
public comment.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
Amr, can I interrupt you for a second? Your audio is a little choppy. For the most part, I think we're able to understand, but I think I lost you there the last couple of sentences. I wonder if you could back up just maybe about 60 seconds and take that again. And I apologize for that, but I know that we do our best with the audio, but it just became a little difficult to understand there.
No, my apologies, James. I'll try to speak slower, and if you do have more trouble with my audio, please do let me know. So basically, just issues like applicants from the previous round, of course, and contracting, and unresolved issues from the last round that have some of folks in NCSG raised concerns on this. And like I was also trying to note that CSG didn't submit a comment during the public comment period for the preliminary issues report. So we did not convey those concerns at this time. Like I said, no concerns were raised regarding the substantive issues in the issues report, but it's more of just the general context of this issue report being being requested and published at this time. Again, so we're kicking this PDP off right now. So I just wanted to make a point of that and would welcome other comments, perhaps from my other NCSG colleagues. Thank you.
Thank you, Amr. So just if I could summarize, based on just the overall workload and the fact that there are still applications that are going through the contracting process and have yet to be delegated, the discussion amongst your constituency was that this is perhaps premature to undertake this work at this time. Is that roughly okay? I see in the chat that Amr agrees with my synopsis of his comment. Thanks. I wanted to make sure we got that on the record just because the audio was just a unfortunately choppy, you know, in places where we had nouns and verbs and important bits of information like that. Okay, thank you for that, Amr, and certainly anyone who feels similarly or has perhaps a different view would be welcome to chime in on this point as well. But next in the queue is Steve. Go ahead, Steve.
Thanks, James. This is Steve Chan from staff. So I just wanted to touch on the subject that was discussed a little bit while ago about the RPM's PDP. And I just wanted to note that the final issue report and as well as the charter actually note the possibility of a discrete and dedicated RPM's PDP. And so it recommends avoiding conflicting or duplicative work. So while there is a carve-out within the charter and the issue, final issue report for the new GTLD subsequent procedures PDP, it notes that the work could possibly occur in either place. But to certainly avoid the conflicting or duplicative work. So there is a carve-out, but it makes sure to note that there are the two parallel paths. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Steve. I think that's useful because it at least tells us that we were thinking of Phil's concerns when the charter for these two groups were being drafted. So I think that falls then to the council and to the chairs and leaderships of those working groups once they're established to coordinate closely with one another to ensure that they're not overlapping in their work and, as you said, duplicating their work. So, Paul, you've been waiting patiently. You're up next.
Thank you, Paul McGrady, for the record. And this just goes to comments by Phil and wanted to just to get some clarity on the issue of the multiple groups who could be working on these issues. For clarity, we're not voting now that any work related to RPMs will have to be done under this particular charter. We're just stating out loud that this charter could be amended if we decide to amend it to put some of that work there once we have the full report from the RPN public comments. But we're not committing at this point, right, that all RPM work would necessarily have to be done in this context. Am I understanding it? I want to make sure I know what I'm voting for. I'm happy with that. But if we're deciding today that all RPM work would have to be done by this group under this charter, then that's a different thing than I thought we were voting on today. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. And my understanding is that your assessment is correct. I'll probably look to staff to confirm that, but that this group would be taking a look at all procedures and policies related to the new GTLD subsequent rounds, and that would not necessarily compel us to move the RPM work under this PDP. But I think we were just discussing how we would coordinate the two PDPs where there may be areas of overlap. But I guess I would look to staff to confirm that Paul and I are reading that correctly. Mary's in the chat saying yes, Paul. Yes to you, but no to me. So I guess you get the gold star for that. Oh, okay, there she is. She got gold star for me as well. Thank you, Mary. Okay, the queue is clear. I would note there's a couple of procedural points with these motions, stepping out of the substance for just a moment, which I know everybody loves to do. There is still a blank TBD in the second half. you know, that says something along the lines of who the GNSO Council liaison will be to this particular group. I don't know if we have anyone who has a burning desire to volunteer to be that council liaison, but now would be an excellent time to come forward, raise your hand, and have your actual name fill in here in this motion. And I see a hand from Paul. I wonder if he's volunteering or if he has a follow-up. Paul, go ahead.
Because I have lost my mind, I am volunteering for this.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, Paul. And you sure you want to volunteer for this one versus the RPM? Maybe I have your previous comment backwards.
Yeah, this is Paul again. I think we're going to have lots of volunteers for the RPM issue. And so, you know, if somebody would like to volunteer for this instead of me today, I'd be happy to step aside. But to make sure that we get this staffed with today, I'm happy to volunteer for this and to be out of the way on the RPMs.
Okay, excellent. Thanks, Paul. And I see the mad dash to rush forward and volunteer for this council liaison position begins and ends with you. So congratulations for Paul, and if we can modify the motion to reflect this, then I see that they're doing that. Fantastic. The second procedural bit here is that the motion is, as we noted on some of the discussions on the council list, is divided into two pieces. The first piece is to initiate the PDP, and then the second piece is to approve the charter. I think that that would require separate votes to approve these as if it were two separate motions. I don't know if it's too late to combine them into a single motion, but, I guess, staff, you can tell me if we're going too far afield here with that idea, but I also don't think it's probably not too heavy of a lift to ask that we vote on them separately. So if there are any concerns with proceeding in that, then we can move to a voting position on these two items separately. So this is my first time at the wheel, Glenn and Marika. Do we want to do a roll call vote here because this is a PDP? Marika, go ahead.
This is Marika. There's no specific requirement in the operating procedures, but I think the practice has been that for PDP votes, a roll call vote is taken, so we can clearly mark in the files that accompany the PDP how the votes were taken and who supported what.
Okay. Let's do a roll call vote then to stick with that tradition, but we can move through it fairly quickly here. And get through these two items.
I'll do that, James. I'll start now. Paul McGrady for Heather Forrest, please.
Yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben.
Yes.
Philip Corwin.
Yes.
Volker Greiman for Jennifer Standiford.
Yes.
James Bladel.
Yes.
Ruben Schuhl for Valerie Tan.
Yes.
Jos Helsinger.
Yes.
Edward Morris.
Yes.
Amar El-Sada.
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yes.
Ed Morris for Maria Maciel?
Yes.
Keith Drazek?
Yes.
Susan Tawaguchi?
Yes.
Donna Austin?
Yes.
Stephanie Perrin?
Yes.
Stefania Milan? Stefania? Stefania, are you on the line? Are you on the Adobe Connect? Can't you hear me now? I can't hear you, but I see your vote is yes, so I'll note that. Thank you. Rubens Kuhl, for yourself?
Yes.
Volker Greimann?
Yes, again.
Paul McGrady?
Yes.
David Cake?
Yes.
And that brings us to the total of 100% in favor for the contracted party house and 100% in favor for the non-contracted party house. So the vote passes on the first motion.
Okay, thank you, Glenn, and thank you, everyone. And in reckoning that the first part of this motion was adopted unanimously, perhaps we can speed up the process on the second part. And does anyone let's move to a voice vote. Does anyone have any objections to moving to a voice vote on the second motion if we are, in fact, treating them as two parts of the same whole? Any objections to that? Bill?
Yeah, I'm not objecting. No. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I'm looking at the charter right now, and at the back of the report, it's Annex B to the back of the report, and it's a very, very long list and a non-exclusive list that goes on for about three pages of issues that this working group will consider, and at the bottom of page 148 to 149, it says second-level rights protection mechanisms, review effectiveness and implementation of RPMs such as trademark clearinghouse, URS, et cetera, and then it says there's a bullet point, note that there's a preliminary issue report on the current state of all rights protection mechanisms implemented for both existing and new TLDs, which may lead to the initiation of a PDP. So, again, I just want to be clear that we're contemplating that if we go forward probably early in the new year with authorizing a PDP on RPMs, that it would be assigned to this group that under this charter that we're voting on, because, again, my one concern, I don't want to see two working groups addressing RPMs and coming out with different analyses and different recommendations. So I just want to make sure we're clear that if we vote for this charter, we're probably committing ourselves to letting this group look at the RPMs.
Okay, thanks, Phil, and I think Mary wants to weigh in on this, and then we'll go to Paul after that. Mary?
Thanks, James, and thanks, Phil. I think, Phil, the short answer to your question, or sort of a question, is that there ideally would just be one working group to look at the RPMs, whether it is this working group that you're voting on today or a different working group that you might vote to create in the future is up for the council to decide. But the idea definitely is that there would not be more than one working group looking at the same thing.
Right. Quick response, Mary. This charter clearly gives authority to this working group to review the efficacy of the RPMs and to make recommendations for changes. So I think the reality is to give that task to a second group would sow the seeds of confusion and consternation. So unless we're going to condition that in some way, change the charter language, we're giving them with this vote the authority to review the RPMs, and there's no way to take – well, we could take it back, but we'd have to amend the charter down the road if we decide that should be done by a separate group to take that away from this group, if we want to avoid possible collision between two different working groups on the same subject. I'm sorry to go on so long, but I think it's important from a process point to understand that this will have an effect on our future consideration of RPM PDP.
because we're giving that authority to this group now. And I'm done speaking.
Right. Thanks, Bill. It is important, and I think we don't want to get into a situation. I think that's a shared goal, that no one wants to commission two groups, both of which think that they have the exclusive remit to start taking a look at RPM. So I think that's understood. I think that we're trying to find the best path forward on that, given that this group is sort of a little further down the road than that other group, as you mentioned. Mary, you wanted to follow up?
Yes, just real quick, and to follow up on your response, which was partly what I was going to say, James, is that when the council comes to vote on the RPM final issue report, obviously part of that vote, should it be to initiate a PDP, would be to clarify the scope of this particular charter. So that's one way to go, and I think in the staff view that would be a recommended way for a couple of reasons, the main reason being obviously that we don't want to precondition this PDP on that one or presume the outcome of that vote were it to come. And an alternative, of course, is to amend the charter here to make that clear, but that would lead to potentially more confusion and potentially some delay if that is something that the council wishes to avoid. So in short, I think the staff advice here would be that if the council were to vote to initiate a PDP on the RPM issue next month or whenever you choose to take up the issue, that this particular point can be brought forward and clarified in that motion as well. Thanks, James. Thanks, Phil.
Thanks, Mary. I actually have some questions on that, but Phil's been waiting, Paul's been waiting. So, Paul, go ahead.
So, again, I think I had the same question that I asked before, which, and again, in reaction to Phil's comment, which is, are we committing that this group will be the group to review all RPMs, or are we saying that that sounds, having all that in one place sounds like a good idea, but it may be this group or it may be some other group, depending on what happens after the RPM comments are looked through and we take that issue up in more detail later. I do note that the RPMs are mentioned in Group 2 in the charter, but I guess when I was reading it, I thought I was reading it in the context of new GTLDs, since this is a new GTLD group, as opposed to looking at all RPMs globally affecting all second-level domain names, regardless of when they were brought into the marketplace. So, again, I just want to make sure that what we're saying is it's possible, it could happen, it may even make sense, but I don't want us – I should be careful. I just want to understand what I'm voting on, because what I don't want is for us to be making a commitment that all RPMs will be looked at by this group if we make this vote today, because, like I said, that's a very different thing than what I thought we were voting on today. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul. And that's sort of where I was going with my follow-up question as well, and I'll just ask Mary. So my understanding, if I'm kind of echoing this back to Mary, is that there is, to Paul's point, the RPM element of this working group is a subset as it's applicable to new GTLDs, whereas the other group, potential PDP, which we assume will be adopted sometime early next year, is a superset of that, is a more global examination of RPMs in all TLDs. And that the bit about RPMs in the charter for this group is somewhat conditional in that if there is that follow-on work, that the examination of RPMs could occur there as opposed to under this working group. But my only concern is the way it was described just a couple of minutes ago by Mary, is that we would pass this charter now, and then upon adoption of that new presumed adoption of that new second subsequent PDP, we would modify this charter. And I feel like that's backwards. I feel like if this one is already up and running and has a working group, and now we have a council liaison, that it seems like that group would be underway, and that if we're going to modify a charter, we should modify the charter for the subsequent group to be clear where that line of demarcation is. But again, I think regardless of how we slice this, the council liaisons to this group and presumably the next group, as well as the chairs or co-chairs or vice chairs or however that leadership takes shape, are going to have to coordinate fairly closely, because I think as Phil and Paul and others have identified, there's a significant potential for overlap here, and we certainly don't want there to be redundant work streams. Mary?
Thanks, James. And hi, that's more or less it, actually. So just allow me to make two observations and then a comment. I think the first observation is obviously that part of the necessity of this discussion was occasioned by the timing. We have an issue report on the new GTLD subsequent procedures, and then shortly after that, we have the RPMs. And, of course, within the RPMs issue, as Phil's pointed out in the chat, there's RPM issues that pertain to the new GTLD program and that might carry forward to the next round, and there are RPM issues that pertain to the so-called legacy GTLDs that may or may not have implications for the next round. Based on that, the second observation I'll make is that from the staff side, we try to be really careful to not presume that the second, chronologically speaking, PDP, which is the RPM one, would or would not happen. And so that's why you see the placeholder in the charter that Phil mentioned. So having made these observations, I think the staff view here is that I understand what you're saying about it being backward, James, but seeing as, you know, the RPM issue is part of the overall review of multiple things going on with the program, then when the council comes to take up the RPM PDP question, which would be as soon as the next meeting, that would be the council's opportunity to clarify what it would like to be done with the RPM review, where it would like to be done, and whether it makes sense to either split the legacy issues out from the new GTLD ones, and whether for the latter it makes sense to do it here. In other words, it may be backward, but it may actually be a more logical way of progressing, because then we're not presuming that all the work would occur here or that all the work would occur elsewhere, but that rather the council would have a chance to fully consider the RPM issue in its own space at the next meeting. I don't know if that answers your question, but that is how the staff was perceiving it, and certainly we are anticipating, as you noted, that there will be a great deal of coordination amongst the chairs, the staff that support both PDPs that both were launched, and of course the council as manager of the process as well.
Okay, thanks, Mary, for clarifying. Susan?
I just think of all the confusion that maybe we shouldn't approve this charter today, and it's not that I want to delay anything, but I do think we need to get it right. If we can easily come up with language on the fly to reflect the fact that these two PDPs should coordinate completely, I am of the view that the RPM PDP, you know, that will be occurring in the future should be the lead on the reviewing the RPMs, because there's so many issues in the new GTLD list. So if we can figure out coordination language that we all approve, I'm fine. Otherwise, just because of we have other big important issues to talk today, could we just delay the approval of the motion of the charter and get that fixed beginning of January and approve at the next GNSO meeting.
Okay. Thanks, Susan. I think that's one possible path forward to get us past this in a way that doesn't inadvertently commit us to doing something that I think is something that we don't want to do. I just put my hand up because I had a thought here, is that wondering that if it would make sense to specify in the charter for this group that that the RPM review that's described in this charter is limited to the development and implementation of rights protection mechanisms that were adopted as a part of the new GTLD program. Because if I'm not mistaken, I think that was the intention of this. And I think that would address at least a couple of concerns that I'm hearing, where that would somehow morph into this group taking a global approach to the review of the rights protection mechanisms in all TLDs. I see a lengthy chat coming from Steve, but Paul, you're in the queue.
Paul McGrady for the record. Thanks, James. While I think that might be a sensible outcome, I think that's the kind of thing that could be debated for endless hours by the community before we reach an outcome like that, because there is interplay between the old and the new RPMs, and some RPM fixes for the new may find their resting place in amendments to the old, right? And so, if we were the group that had the right to jump ahead to that conclusion, that might be a good thing to kick around here. But I think that jumping ahead like that is probably not what we should be doing. It underlines Susan's suggestion that we may be better off to look at the two charters at the same time and to distribute the work, instead of looking at them in two different time frames, and so maybe deferral makes some measure of sense. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Paul. And I just want to point out that if we were to defer on this second motion, the second part of this motion, that doesn't mean necessarily that the charter for the other group would presumably be adopted or ready, or it's hard to predict where that will be. If we defer this, we would defer it, but it wouldn't necessarily mean that it would, the other group would catch up to it. Steve, go ahead.
Thanks, James. This is Steve from Staff. And I guess I just wanted to reiterate Mary's point that the reason, I think a big reason why this is in the charter is because of what she already mentioned, that we do not know if the PDP, the discrete PDP on RPMs, if that's going to happen. So this is putting a stake in the ground that says that this work could be accomplished through here, but, if you've been able to peruse the language I posted there, it notes that other work may occur, and therefore the work should be coordinated and, like I said earlier, to avoid duplication and conflicting outcomes. So I think it's just to not make presumptions about whether or not that other work is going to occur. So to note that there is a home for it in the event that the other PDP is not initiated. Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. So the queue is clear, and I see now that Phil is now also at least openly kicking around the idea that the second part would be deferred until our next meeting. Does anyone have any significant concerns with deferring this second part to our next meeting, with the understanding, I think with two understandings, first that we would use the intervening time to reconcile the language between this charter and what we'd like to see in this charter and the subsequent PDP on RPM, and two, that the subsequent PDP on RPMs may not be ready in time for the next meeting, and it may still lag behind this this effort. It might close that gap a little bit, but it would still be, I think, a significant sequencing gap between the two work streams. So that's just a thought. I see Donna and Steve want to weigh in on this. Donna, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now, Donna.
Oh, yay. Donna Austin, for the record. So I understand why people are recommending deferral on this, because there is some confusion about the RPM inclusion in the charter. I think from a registry stakeholder group perspective, not that we've discussed this, obviously, but I think there is a will to move forward as, you know, reasonably quickly on getting this process started, because from our perspective, we have seen some delays in getting the initiation of the PDP to this point. I guess as a... I don't know how we'll go on this procedurally, James, but I guess if we went to a vote on this, we'd be more likely to want to approve the charter today. But perhaps it makes sense to review the charter. And if we could have kind of an agreement that we would have this back on the agenda for discussion in January and approval in January, if we can sort out the bits that are causing the confusion and concern, then I think we might be okay with the deferral. Thanks.
Thanks, Donna. And yeah, I feel the same way. I know that this has been a long time coming to get to this this point in the PDP, and I would note that we just a few moments ago, or actually 20 moments ago, approved the first half of this. I think there is this sticking point with the charter. So, you know, I do think that we, you know, given the holidays and the two big rocks that we have remaining on our agenda, there is a sentiment towards leaning towards a deferral, then we would make haste to get this charter issue resolved and get the RPM remit and scope clarified as the PDP. But I don't, Amr, I think that is an excellent question also, and probably one of the reasons why we shouldn't be tinkering with charters on the fly on the table. I still don't know if anyone has actually formally asked for this to be a deferral. I just note that a number of folks have raised that as a possibility. So to Donna's point, I think both Phil and Susan have noted that that's something that they're considering. And just as a note, procedural note, we have approved the first part of the motion so that we could initiate the PDP and begin to form the working group. The charter and Paul's appointment as the council liaison and the everything under the resolve clauses of the second bit is the bit that would be deferred. Okay, so I guess I'm calling the question. Is anyone specifically asking for this to be deferred until the January meeting? Or should we prefer to should we move to a vote? Susan, Phil, I don't want to roll past you here, but I need somebody to formally ask for it.
I'm asking for a deferral on the charter, approval of the charter.
The second part of the motion.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, then I think then we'll proceed accordingly, and we'll use the intervening time to clean up this bit about this loose end about the RPMs. And Phil is also supporting that. Okay. All right, thank you. And Paul, looks like you have a 1-month reprieve. Moving then into the next item here, which is item number 5, another motion, another PDP. This one is a conclusion of the Privacy Proxy Services Accreditation Issues, the PPSAI, which as a participant of this group, and I guess I was the council liaison too, which I had completely forgotten about until I was reminded of that. This group recently concluded its work and published its final report. I think it's understood that there is This is a very significant body of work and represents multiple years of community efforts from across the GNSO, and I think other non-GNSO folks have weighed in on this as well. And some of the most vigorous community public comments that we've seen, some of which was, I think, coordinated, and some of which kind of went a little wild there at the end. But anyway, the result, I think, is good. The co-chairs have presented the final report, and all recommendations have achieved consensus, and they are now submitting this to the council for our consideration. So I'll note two things about this procedurally. The first is that there was a request on the list to defer this motion as well, noting that this is a significant motion coming inside of a flurry of other time-sensitive work items, and two, that no one has seconded this motion. So it is probably not eligible for a vote anyway at this stage of the game. So I see Amr in the chat saying that he would be willing to second that, and thank you, Amr. I don't know if it's going to be necessary because I think Susan posted a list, posted a note to the list last week or perhaps a little sooner, stating that that they would like more time to review this as well. So, Susan, does that request for a deferral still stand, or should we move to a discussion and vote on this motion?
It does still stand, and just for others to understand my point of view, I participated on the PPSAI. I think this is very important work, and we need to move forward, but once again, we have so much on our plate, and in the spirit of cooperation, on the next generation RDS, that was something I proposed, and we had a deferral on that, and on that motion, we gave it more thought, and then I proposed that we didn't even do a call for volunteers until January. By deferring this motion today, that just puts off the call for volunteers till January, and which is, I think, a better time. We've already got the GTLD review moving forward, and the call for volunteers will go out in 7 days if we do add this to the list. And then January 4th, the RDS goes out for a call for volunteers. We have the CCWG and the CCT. I'm overwhelmed. And so that was my thinking. It's just, can we just put this off a few more weeks?
I think I'm hearing the same from registrars, and I think I've heard some comments from speaking with the folks as well individually that this is a very, very large work item that needs to be considered carefully given the scope and depth and detail that's contained in this report. And I would note to your point that every time we put out a call for volunteers, we're dipping from the same pool. It's not like there's a different batch of volunteers, particularly when you look at something like PPSAI and RDS. There's usually going to be significant overlap in the membership of those types of groups. So, and I see that Stephanie Perrin is fully supporting your call for a deferral in the chat. So I see Mary has her hand up, but I would say, in the interest of time on our agenda and to get to some of our larger items further down the agenda, that we would note that this has been requested to defer as well to our January meeting. But I'll give Mary the last word on this.
Thanks, James. Just real quick, staff is, of course, not disagreeing with either the workload question or the request for deferral. We just wanted to clarify for the record that the call for volunteers in this motion refers to a call for volunteers for the implementation review team, and that team would only be formed after the board approval of the actual recommendation. So just for clarification for the record, a call for volunteers for that IRT would presumably not happen for at least a few months. That, of course, does not necessarily downplay or decrease the workload topic that everyone is very aware of. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. Good point. This is, would be a call for volunteers on an implementation review team and not a PDP. I still think we're going to see a lot of overlap in the membership, but it is an important distinction. Thank you for clarifying that. So, so if there are no objections, then we'll move past this, and this will become a major item on our next meeting, and move then to item number six. Hopefully this one is a little less painful. As you recall, we adopted a practice where we would put together a GNSO response to GAC communiques that were received during ICANN meetings. We received a GAC communique and analyzed it from the most recent meeting in Dublin. And Stephanie Perrin, thank you, Stephanie, took the first draft at the GNSO response, and Marika circulated the most recent version to the list, I believe, a few days ago. So hopefully folks have had a chance to take a look at that. And I would note to Phil, who raised a point earlier regarding the curative rights, note that there was mention of an independent expert that was retained by that working group, and that group is awaiting the report from that expert before it can move on. But otherwise, I think that the GAC communique and our response to it was fairly non-controversial. So if there are no objections, we'll proceed on this one. I note that we still need a second to this motion as well. Stephanie raised the motion on November 19th, and Marika posted the most recent draft a few days ago, if not maybe last, over the weekend. Stephanie, would you like to, well, I'll just read through this in the interest of time, if that's okay. The two resolved clauses, the Council adopts the GNSO review of the Dublin GAC communique and requests that the GNSO Council chair communicate the GNSO review of the Dublin GAC communique to the board. And second, following communication to the board, GNSO Council requests GNSO Council chair informs the GAC chair as well as the GAC GNSO consultation group with communication between the GNSO Council and the ICANN board. Okay, so the resolved clauses are two items that go on my to-do list. So it looks like Volker has seconded this in the chat, so this motion is now ready for a vote. If there are no objections, I'd like to proceed to a voice vote for this because I believe this is a fairly non-controversial, non-PDP motion, and unless there are any objections, I think we can just proceed with a voice vote. Okay, seeing none, Glenn, can we go forward?
Certainly, James. All those in favor of the motion, is there anybody who wishes to abstain from this motion? Please say so now. Hearing nobody, is there anybody who is not in favor of this motion who would like to vote against it? Please say so now. Hearing nobody, is everybody in favor of this motion? And if so, please say aye or show your hand in the Adobe Connect if you have got connectivity issues.
Aye.
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 There being no abstentions, no votes against the motion passes unanimously. Thank you, James.
Awesome. Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate that, everyone. And I will work with Marika and Mary to make sure that those, and to Mason as well, our GAC liaison, to make sure that the last two elements of the resolve clause are satisfied. So thank you for your help on that. Okay. That was the easy part of our agenda. Now things start to get a little bit more uphill. The next item is the endorsement of GNSO candidates for the CCT review team. And thank you for putting the list up here. I think we are still awaiting some submissions from the BC, I think is one of the groups that we're still awaiting a list from, and we still have not received any notes from the non-commercial folks. So, look, if I could just tee this up a little bit with a reminder that this is not our review team to select. The selection will be done by Fadi and by Thomas in his capacity as chair of the GAC. Our endorsements, I believe, are meaningful coming from the GNSO, but they are by no means a guarantee that an applicant will be selected for the working group. We have received, as you would note, we've noted throughout the process, we've received very little guidance from the selectors as to what the size of this or composition of this working group would look like. And so we have therefore kind of taken it upon ourselves to try to anticipate what the most acceptable size and balance will be, and then push that down to the stakeholder groups and allow them to find the selection, the endorsement selection process that fits their needs accordingly, and then roll that all up into a single GNSO list. Point here is that the larger the list, the more likely that we will put the selectors in the position of choosing or not choosing someone that we have endorsed. That's probably going to happen to some extent anyway, but I would note that that's also likely to result in some folks feeling like their candidate or candidates or endorsements were disregarded by the selectors. That's always a risk, and that's something that we kind of take on board when we put these out there. And I think that the larger the list that we send, the more likely that we will be, at least to some extent, dissatisfied with some of the outcomes. So with that said, we've got the list as it stands today on the Adobe screen. I'd like to talk through it. I would ask, however, for anyone that wants to speak to applicants that are seeking endorsement, please do not, I would just remind you that this is an open forum and it's recorded and archived, and please be cognizant of that when discussing individuals and the merits of the folks who have taken the time to submit their interest and to volunteer to be an applicant, to be considered for endorsement. Let's make sure that we are advocating those folks that we believe are worthy of endorsement and not necessarily speaking out against folks that we believe maybe are not. That's just my personal request to this group as we proceed with our discussion. And there was, I think, a discussion there late on the list, and Ed pointed out correctly that there was a proposal that I put out for a first pass. And I think that's what we're looking at here. And the objective of the first pass was to identify overlap between the different groups. So, for example, if you note, and I'm just going to pick on Jonathan because I know he can handle it, but Jonathan Zook is so highly regarded that he was nominated by, or his endorsement was forwarded by both the ISPs and the IPC. And, you know, I think that is one way to winnow this list a little bit, is to have individuals that appear to receive endorsement from multiple corners of the community. So I think that's a good sign, and that we should look for additional areas of overlap like that. So with that, I'm sorry, and Paul has a question. Can we be reminded of the timing on this? What is the deadline? Paul, the timing, unfortunately, is not good. The deadline is today, and my understanding is that was actually after following an extension, so that according to staff, we are unlikely to get any sort of reprieve from that deadline. And in fact, my understanding from speaking with staff earlier is that the selectors will be meeting to discuss their selections for this review team either today or tomorrow. In fact, they may have already been discussing the list and are simply waiting for our endorsement to reinforce decisions that they've already made. So the deadline is that we are up against it. So with that, and Amr, I think that's the answer there. So we do have a motion. It's more of a placeholder motion right now that says it's something along the lines of, you know, this is the group of folks that we're endorsing, and then there's a blank in there where we would actually insert this this list. And there's the text of the motion, which also, by the way, needs a second. So that's where we stand today. I think the first step here is, you know, let's take a high-level view of the list as it stands today. Again, we're talking right now about a list of, it's like 18 specific individuals that would be submitted for endorsement. And that's, just to be blunt, that's a little larger than we had initially set out to target, but that's not the end of the world. We would just probably need to note that a larger than typical number of folks would probably be endorsed by the GNSO but not selected. And we, if we're willing to go forward with that, then perhaps this can be a short exercise and we can move forward with this list. But I'll open it up now to the queue. I've blathered on a little bit too long already, so we'll start with Volker and then Paul. Volker?
Thanks, James. Volker Greimann speaking for the record. Just a question. If the formal requirements have been met for all the candidates that are nominated here, i.e., do we have the submissions of their statements that we have requested, I think, with a deadline of last week, or was it the week before, that should have been received by the council? I haven't seen any of those statements, so it would be helpful to just note if these have been received, and if so, if they were complete. And, of course, I will second the motion.
Thanks, Volker, and I see in the chat that you have volunteered to second the motion, although technically we're both registrars, so I don't know if that works, but if no one cares, that'd be great. Thank you. And to Marika's point, yes, I know that there were some folks that had not responded to that request by the deadline, but we weren't really enforcing that too harshly. Are there anyone as of today, on the last day, that had still not submitted their response to that request, Marika?
Yes, this is Marika. So we have, looking at the list, four people that have not submitted the requested GNSO info, and I believe two of those are on the list of potential candidates for GNSO endorsement, and that's Ben Anderson and Jeremy Malcolm. I think the other two names, Samuel Akinsola and Lyndall McDonald, I don't think were mentioned on the list. But those have not submitted the requested GNSO information as of today, as far as we are aware.
Okay, thank you, Marika. And that's while I think we were trying to be as accommodating as possible, we are definitely up against the finish line here as far as the information that was requested. And ideally, it would have come in prior to that so that we could, so that all the different SGs could take a look at those responses when they're formulating their endorsement. Paul, you're up next.
Thanks, Paul McGrady, for the record. I agree with the growing sentiment in the chat that, especially in light of the accountability discussion, which I think is really vital that we spend some time on, and the fact that the clock is running out on our call, that we simply submit this list in its entirety. Everybody knows these people who they submitted and believes that they would be good. There's no reason to, I can think of, to pick them apart individually on this kind of call and put the list forward, as Keith suggests, with a request for diversity, including, inclusion of as many people from each constituency and stakeholder group as possible so that we have the full view of the GNSO on this process. So I guess I just would like to know if we can expedite this one by not getting too far into the weeds and move on to the accountability discussion. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Paul. I'm actually in favor of that approach with two little tweaks to that proposal. The first one would be that for those two individuals who are listed here who have not responded to our request for information, that they would be given some sort of a drop-dead time to get that back to us or, you know, before we would turn this into the selectors. And then the second bit being that it's less of a note for the selectors and more of a note just for all of us that although each applicant is maybe coming from different areas of the community and we would want different aspects of the GNSO to be represented in a balanced and even fashion, that they would be expected to represent all interests of the GNSO, regardless of where they, you know, whichever stakeholder group they call home. So, you know, and that would be reinforced in a letter to those who are ultimately selected. But if you're in favor with that approach, then I think we can proceed as you proposed, or at least consider that. And I think that addresses Keith's point as well about diversity within the GNSO. Wolf?
Yes, thank you, James. It's Wolf always speaking. Well, as you have seen all on the list, you know, before we met here, there are several concerns with regards to this process, and I joined this in general. Nevertheless, you know, it's up to us well to find the best solution and to find a solution which is viable and which we think is going to be accepted by the selectors. So by saying this, so I can openly speaking that we haven't. So as you can see, we did not in advance coordinate within on stakeholder group level because we accepted, you know, the process as it was outlined. So and as you can see also from NOMCOM's there were personally from the both NOMCOM appointees were made suggestions as well. So. So that is why we stuck on there as well to propose something on constituency level. But it can also help well to reduce the list here to some extent. As you could see, Jonathan Sack is one person is on two lists here, so it could be removed from our list. And in addition, Baudu Siganga, he is from the BC. He was seen from us as a candidate, but we would like well to prefer that if the BC comes to a decision well to put forward Cecilia, so we would join that, and that just remove Baudu from our list. So that may be helping to some extent. Thanks.
Thanks, Wolf. And we are, I think, tracking those individuals who appear on multiple lists. And I think that's factored into the overall size, which we are now at 18. Ed, you're up next.
Thanks, James. And thanks, Wolf. We have an opposite problem in the MTSG. We believe, based upon the information we had received, that this was going to be done at the SG level. So we have a real need right now to consult with our constituencies, particularly with NPOC, who Carlos is their only member on council. He's not here today, to see if they want to nominate anybody. Is it possible to delay sending the list for a few hours so we can check with our constituency leaders to see if they want to endorse or nominate anybody for this position, these positions?
Thanks, Ed. My understanding is that we can delay the submission of the list, but we need to have the list final to vote on it, like, now.
Well, I have to protest that. I'm protesting on behalf of one of my constituencies. MPOC has not been consulted because based upon the confusion that Wolf has spoken of, we were under the impression that it was going to be done at the SG level. So I have a constituency out there, people I represent, that have not had the opportunity to nominate people.
I'm noting that, Ed, but I'm still not quite following why the doing this at the stakeholder group level would preclude a constituency from submitting its nomination.
Because they weren't aware they were supposed to. Again, when I look at what you sent out, as I put on the list today, you talked about SGs, SGs, SGs. Not once did the word constituency play a role in your plan. And so we have constituencies that have not even considered these matters. Perhaps they have candidates that I don't know about. I need to talk to Rudy Vasek. I need to talk to Klaus Stahl. Otherwise, they're being left out of the possibility of participating in this process. As Wolf said, the parameters apparently were unclear. We read things differently. But that's not a reason to disenfranchise an entire constituency.
So, again, the goal certainly is not to leave anyone by the side of the road. The objective was to recognize the different stakeholder groups would have different approaches to determining who their preferred candidates or applicants would be. Let's put a hold on that, and let's see what David and Volker want to add here. David, you're up next.
Right. Well, I'm essentially supporting a similar position to Ed, but I think we can actually deal with that by simply passing on constituency recommendations directly to the selectors and just let them know that we were not able to be part of the GNSO process due to process and timing confusion. But I do think it is important that we are going to be putting in, individual or constituency recommendations, that we also have a chance to do that for our constituencies, which we just didn't because we were confused about the process. It has been a very confusing process. This is very, very different to the way we've handled any previous review team. It's very problematic, but we are out of time, so I think, yes, just submitting the list as we have, and then following up afterwards by, if people can individually send other comments to the selectors as they will, would be, it seems to be the way forward.
Okay, thanks, David. I'm trying to figure out whose hands are new and whose hands are old. I think we're down to Volker next in the queue.
Yes, thank you, James. First word of apology. I mean, the starting of this process clearly fell into the interregnum period for which myself and David were responsible, and we could have handled this maybe more clear. It was my vision that we had a certain set of nominations from each SG, so the stakeholder groups would, constituencies would have to coalesce around a certain number of candidates that they would then propose to on the stakeholder group level, and then the stakeholder group would condense that to a smaller group. It has not percolated through the entire chain, and that maybe the communication should have been clearer on that. One way to avoid having this discussion right now of delaying this any further would be to try to get some form of consolidation in the on the constituency level to condense it to a number of candidates that they could agree to on the stakeholder group level. So the stakeholder group would be, constituencies would be represented through the stakeholder group, and otherwise we would have a situation where all the constituencies would have a nomination for one, and that might not be the ideal situation. So having maybe we would do want to discuss whittling down the list to 16 or something like that.
Okay, thanks, Volker. I thought I understood, but some of your audio, I think, I was difficult to hear. So I would note in the chat that Ed was responding to David Cake. David, can you reiterate what you were proposing here? Because I note that we have now 23 minutes remaining in our call, and we still have kind of the biggest item is still outstanding. So I want to make sure that we capture this so we can move forward.
Thanks. What I was suggesting was simply that we send on a council list that the NCOC and NCU send separate, just send their nominations directly to the selectors with a note explaining why, you know, due to timing and news that it was not in the council list.
And that such a submission would or would not have GNSO endorsements, or would they simply have NPOC endorsements?
Well, they would be constituency level endorsements rather than the whole council. But it is a difficult situation. I think given that we've given such a broad level of GNSO endorsement, I don't think they'll be given the same strong weight they have been by selectors in previous. So I'm okay with the fact that though technically those constituency endorsements would not have GNSO endorsement, they would not have under a normal process either, and it would still be additional information useful to the selectors.
Okay, thank you, David. And I note that Keith has indicated in the chat that he supports that idea, and I also think that there's nothing nothing objectionable with that coming from MPOC or NCSG or really any other group that wants to communicate directly with the selectors. I see a queue here, and I don't know if, Ed, is this a follow-up question, or is that an old hand?
Old hand, James. Apologies.
No apologies necessary. Then we'll move to Susan as next in the queue, and then we'll put a marker after Stephanie. Susan, go ahead.
So I did put a question in the chat a few moments or minutes ago when we were talking about allowing those that applied that did not ask for GNSO endorsement to be given some time to do so. I'm just wondering what kind of timeline you're talking about, because this is the deadline's today, so are we going to ignore the process that was in place and was explained and allow, you know, several days for that to happen? So that's one issue. The other issue, and apologies to Valerie, but you know, none of the discussions on the council threads indicated individual endorsements. It was always either at a constituency or a stakeholder group level. So I'm a little bit concerned that we're confusing the nominations, the NOMCOM counselors' nominations, and allowing those to be in part of this list, even though they're overlapping and good recommendations, that it's not who she's recommending, but just the extending this process so far out. We're almost at the point where why don't we just send in the whole list to the selectors and back off? I don't agree with that, but I just feel like the value, we're losing a lot of value here. And then my third point is more important is, in my opinion, is how we deliver this list to the selectors and our comments and points made to the selectors that this is a GNSO policy review and that we should have lots of input on that and our candidates should be respected.
Thank you, Susan, and I would note that that last bit, I agree with the last two statements you made. I think we have now reached a point where the list is starting to look like something we would submit. I think there was confusion, particularly with respect to the NOMCOM appointees. But if you look, the combined effect of their list is three. So you know, if you want to retroactively go back and say that we were allotting three endorsements recommendations from the NOMCOM, then they collectively came up with three between Yulf and Valerie. To your last point, absolutely agree. And it was, I believe it's in the, I believe it is in the motion text as well, that the GNSO played a significant GNSO interest were front and center in this particular review team, and the GNSO endorsements of the review team candidates should be given serious consideration. That's exactly what we intend to submit along with this list. Next up is Stephanie, and then we'll close the queue because we're running out of time.
Okay. One more second, though. But before this is submitted, can we review the language? The cover notes?
I will check with Marika and see if that is drafted yet. But I believe that the sentiment is not controversial, and it's something I share wholeheartedly. But I'll see if we can. Marika's indicating that we don't have a draft of that letter yet.
So I can help Marika with that.
Okay, noted. Thank you. Stephanie? Stephanie, we can't hear you. Stephanie, audio is not connected.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now? Can hear several of you. There's a terrible echo.
Yes. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'll try to be quick. I agree with what Susan just said. I would add to that that the problem with the confusion in the process here is that you have, it's neither fish nor fowl. We have not done a qualitative review of the candidates, and it isn't quite accurate politically because of the confusion of constituency versus stakeholder group. So possibly a note to that effect might be useful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Stephanie, and we will be sure to include that in the draft. Okay, the queue is clear. Here's what I'm hearing and proposing as our path forward. I think we have our list. It's a little larger than I think we originally set out to hit, but that is noting that we still have a couple of folks that perhaps need to submit some of the required GNSO information. There was some confusion, and I think Volker and David have stepped up and said that's part of the transition for their role as interim chairs. I don't think that rests solely at their feet. This was a very complex thing to take on your first day on the job, and so that's probably the bulk of that fall to me. I remember writing the original proposal sitting at the airport in O'Hare trying to untangle all these things. But nevertheless, this is where we are. I think the list that we have is a good list, and I think that all of these individuals are worthy of endorsement by the GNSO and will represent all of our interests capably on this review team. So I'm recommending that we go forward with this list, that Susan and Marika and I draft the letter that will accompany the list to the selectors, noting that we believe very strongly that the GNSO delegation, for lack of a better word, is an important component of the subject matter that is under review by this team, and that expect is a hard word. We encourage them to take that on board when considering these candidates, and then would also note that there would also be two other letters, by the way, going out. The one would be to the folks who are endorsed, that if they are selected for the CCT, that the applicant will represent. Do their utmost to represent the views of the GNSO community in their work, and that they would provide regular feedback to the Council and to their SGs on the work of the CCT as it proceeds through 2016, and that we would also draft a letter to those candidates who were requesting GNSO endorsement but for a reason did not receive it, thanking them and encouraging them to remain involved and to participate in the work wherever possible. So if there are no objections, I'd like to proceed with a vote on that with the list that we have. And I think at this point, if we could move to a voice vote in the interest of time, that would be fantastic, unless there are objections to that. Stephanie, are you objecting to a voice vote, or is that an old hand? That hand went down. Thank you. So, Glenn, if we could, please proceed with a voice vote on the motion as it stands with the list that has been filled in.
Thank you, James. All those who are not in favor of this motion, will you please say so now? State your name. Hearing none, anybody who would like to abstain from the motion, please state your name.
Glenn, I know that there's a, I'm sorry, Glenn, I note that there is a hand raised by Volker. Volker, are you voting?
Volker, are you...
Very old hand, very sorry.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Sorry for the confusion. Glenn, please proceed.
So there are no abstentions. No one is not in favor of the motion. So everyone who is in favor of the motion, please say aye or put a hand in the, put a note in the Adobe Connect.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
I see Ed is tapping. Thank you very much. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you, James, and over to you.
Thank you, Glenn, and thanks, everyone, for, you know, biting your lip and getting through that process as a group. I appreciate that. Okay, next item, and we're down to our last 11 minutes, and I had hoped to save almost a half an hour, is... the discussion, not a motion. Yes?
Sorry, we have Thomas on the line, James.
Fantastic. And Thomas, thank you for your patience. I had personally assured Thomas that this wouldn't come at the very end of the call, so I appreciate you staying up for this. So just to note that this is a discussion. This is not a, a motion. Regarding the CCWG on enhanced ICANN accountability, which there have been a number of developments recently, including a comment from the board and a briefing from this morning. And rather than butcher it, I will just turn it over to Thomas to introduce this subject for our discussion. Thomas, please go ahead.
Thanks very much, James, and welcome, everyone. I have to preface this by saying that today is ECHO's Christmas party. And I stepped out to find a quiet corner, but nonetheless, I think I can't avoid some Christmas music for your listening pleasure. I hope that's not too bad. I will provide a quick update on where we are, cognizant of the fact that we still have some moving parts. But in preparation for this, I've been asked by GNSO Council leadership to concentrate on three areas, which are to give an update on the feedback that we received so far from the board and chartering organizations. And the answer to that is that we only received a formal response to our recommendations from ALEC now, and we received a comment from the board. The other chartering organizations have not yet offered formal feedback. And there were some questions surrounding how we're going to deal with particularly the board comments. And the response to that is that we have established a time plan, and we also have established a methodology well before we opened the public comment period. And it's basically the same methodology that we also applied during the previous public comment periods, and that is that we will wait until the public comments period closes on the 21st of December, and we will then analyze all feedback, regardless of whether it is from the board or individuals or the chartering organizations. So we will not, and I guess this is something that has caused some confusion, because there were some thoughts or exchanges of thoughts on what the board comments would do. They have not derailed the process. We are certainly looking at the board comments. We're taking them seriously. We're working on them. But so far, the third report that we published is the basis for the feedback that we're soliciting. If you take a look at the charter for the CCWG accountability, that says that in order to pass on our recommendations to the board, we need a consensus proposal as well as support from the chartering organizations. And certainly in that consensus building exercise, we also take into account, as we previously did, feedback from the board. So we're still seeking statements of support or rejections on our recommendations from the chartering organizations. And so far, again, we've only received feedback from the board as well as from ALEC, and we would hope, and this is the second question that I was asked, what expectations there are for the GNSO or the GNSO Council by the close of the public comment period. And it was our hope that we would receive statements of support or rejection by the end of the public comment period, but we do know that some of the chartering organizations need a little bit more time to go through the recommendations and offer a response. Ideally, this would be formal approval, and let's just think for a second that if there were no critical comments, but if all chartering organizations had expressed their explicit approval by this time, then actually we would be good to go to submit our recommendations to the board if there was no serious pushback from the community. Since this is obviously not possible, because, you know, the CCNSO Council, for example, has scheduled its meeting to discuss this on the 23rd, so the chartering organizations over whom we do not have any power in terms of their timing are requested to offer their formal feedback at their earliest convenience, and we hope that that process of getting formal feedback from the chartering organizations will be concluded in the first couple of days of January. And by that time, we will be able to determine whether this, in combination with the public comment that will be analyzed by then, requires our group to issue a supplemental draft report. According to our charter, it is in the discretion of the CCWG to issue a supplemental draft if one or more chartering organizations have expressed concerns or, rejected one or multiple of our recommendations. So that is yet to be seen. There are different scenarios possible. So it is perfectly possible that the chartering organizations reject recommendations. It is perfectly possible that they support the recommendations. And depending on the level of support or approval, we will then discuss as a CCWG when exactly we can deliver the third report or our final report to the board. Last comment on the board comments. As you will know, the board has two roles in this. One is the role as a contributor, active contributor to the CCWG process. And certainly in that respect, they are part of the consensus building, and they have been. In fact, when we discuss some of the community powers, board members contributing in their personal capacity have played a vital role in shaping our recommendations, and we're very grateful for that. We're also very grateful for the board having contributed with thoughtful comments, quite detailed comments at times, and added those to the discussion. That is not to forget that there is a second component to the board's role, and that is to take the consensus from the community, look at that, and assess whether there are global public interest considerations that prevent the board from passing on the recommendations on an as-is basis to NTIA. This goes back to a resolution that was passed by the ICANN board, I think it was in October 2014, and that would require I think, two-thirds or 75% plus vote that one or more recommendations contravene the global public interest. And whether that is the case or not is yet to be seen. As we previously did, we are continuously improving our recommendations, but there are different levels of improvements that are possible. So certainly not having fully digested the board comments as a group and not having looked at the other comments that are coming in as a whole, there are a lot of areas where issues that are raised can be fixed during the implementation phase. And you might also remember that we've asked the chartering organizations to, if possible, limit their contributions during this early phase to those points that are not related to implementation, and to only raise those concerns that would lead them to reject one or multiple of our recommendations. So I think we need to take a look at this holistically. We need to look at what level of change, if any, is required. We've also asked the board to provide more clarity on what their understanding of public global public interest considerations would be, because their comment has not been too clear on that. So our group still tries to understand, for example, why inspection rights granted to the community could lead to issues in the area of global public interest. So that is something that we're looking into, and we hope to be able to bridge the gaps, remove concerns, if not during this phase, then during the implementation phase. And we hope that this is going to continue to be a very collaborative effort and leads to community consensus that everyone can support. And as you know, consensus building is sometimes a painful effort. So those that have followed our deliberations will note that not all groups got exactly what they wanted, but they were part of a package of consensus. And so we hope that we will be able to come up with something that everyone is willing to accept. Certainly not preferred or ideal options for everyone, but we need to find something that is acceptable. And whether this level of change is sufficient enough for us to be required to issue a supplemental draft, that is yet to be seen. So I spoke to the three areas that I was requested to. I hope that has been sufficiently clear. I'm not on the Adobe, so I would kindly request staff or council leadership to help manage the queue and questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. And we're right up against our hard stop here, and I know a number of people have to drop here very soon. So with that, I'll jump right to the queue. We have Paul McGrady first. Paul?
Hi there. I'll speak as quickly as possible. And I apologize. I don't have an open-ended time slot to stay for very long. I just wanted to pass along that the IPC is doing the best we can to respond under what we believe to be an unrealistic comment deadline. We think that ICANN needs to look at that issue, especially with some delays, inherent delays of the transition based upon what's happened in Washington this past week. There's just some more time on the other side of it than the current calendar calls for. So we think that the comment period should be extended to something practical, at least 45 days, preferably 60. We are concerned about the issue in Recommendation 11 related to the two-thirds GAC vote issue. The IPC position on that is fairly well known from when the idea was kicked around by the community back in 2014. We're concerned that the language could be construed as a mandatory obligation for the board to vote on GAC advice, or else it's automatically affected. We're also concerned that the two-thirds threshold is too high of a threshold. It may be possible to find agreeable language if appropriate guardrails could be put in place to protect community members from GAC advice that otherwise goes against
ICANN's core obligations, and some of those were suggested in our 2014 comment related to this issue the last time it was kicked around and rejected. So that's issue number one for the IPC under recommendation number five. We are concerned that the way that it's written now doesn't make it clear that ICANN is fully responsible to enforce its contracts, and we would prefer an explicit recognition of ICANN to enforce its contracts. It seems like that's a core duty. That's an area that needs to be looked at again and enhanced. And then lastly, on and by the way, this is not an exhaustive list. I'm just trying to boil down to our primary concerns and speak as quickly as possible. On recommendation number nine, where the affirmations or commitments are incorporated into the bylaws, missing is the provision that requires ICANN to remain a U.S. not-for-profit. We think that's a major omission. It's a major difference from what's been kicked around in the past. We believe that that should be a fundamental bylaw and should not be one that is easily changed. We're concerned about all kinds of other issues, but for the sake of speed, I'm going to stop there. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Paul, and thanks for sticking a few minutes later beyond the deadline. I appreciate that. Phil, you're up next.
Yes, I'll be quick. Number one, I'm going to have to leave this call in the next few minutes. Number two, I don't think we have, as a council, time today to talk about our internal mechanics of when we're going to discuss the substance of this and how we're going to prepare a motion of approval, disapproval, concerns, whatever, but we need to start that discussion on the list very quickly. Personally, I could be available for calls next week or the first week of January. I'm unplugging from the grid the week between Christmas and New Year's. Last, I have a question for Thomas. The CCWG co-chairs were not on this morning's call between the SOAC leaders and the board and senior staff. During that call, Steve Crocker made clear that the five items highlighted by the board were of very great concern to the board and that the board's view on those was unanimous. Those included such important issues as community inspection rights, changing the mission statement and how and whether to be restrictions on Workstream 2. So the fact that it's unanimous means that the board, if it wanted to, could probably muster a two-thirds vote if those things aren't changed to their liking to say they're not in the global public interest. How is the CCWG going to handle that? I know it's just comments, but the board has a power that no other group commenting has. I would hope that there's not going to be when the CCW has carefully thought out positions such as the wording of the mission, that we're not going to see broad capitulation just because the board comes in once again with 11th hour comments. But I invite any thoughts you have on how that's going to be handled, the board comments, since they apparently could muster the two-thirds vote if they wish to down the road. Thank you.
Thanks, Phil. And Thomas, if you'd like to respond, please keep it very, very brief. We have a queue of folks that need to leave.
Sure. Quick response. As I mentioned, there are two dimensions to the board comments. One is the contribution to the consensus building and then sort of their gatekeeping function when it comes to approving the whole package. I would suggest we really look at the substance of the comments, see where concerns are shared by the chartering organizations. It is our duty as co-chairs to follow our charter, and our charter foresees that the chartering organizations and the community needs to approve of our recommendations, more focus on the chartering organizations, I should say. And then I think, as we refine our recommendations, we need to see what concerns with respect to global public interest remain. And I'm quite confident that we will be able to finesse some of the language to put in language not only for the board comments but also for other comments, whereby we're going to address issues during the implementation phase. As you know, a lot of the recommendations that we put together require quite substantial bylaw redrafting, and we're not in the wordsmithing phase yet. So we're trying to capture the spirit and the essence of our recommendations in the report, and I'm sure that a lot of the concerns can be addressed during the implementation, and that will also go for the board comments.
Thank you, Thomas. Appreciate that. Wolf Ulrich, you're up next.
Thanks, James. Hi, Thomas. From the ISPCP, it seems to be a little bit more advanced than others in this respect, so we are prepared well to comment on that by the deadline. And the only open concern to us is with regards to, I think it's number 11, the same problem as Paul was raising with regards to the board voting. So this is still under discussion within the constituency, and as you may know, so we did it the same last year, so in 2014, and it came up and we rejected it because it was for us not understandable, so that this threshold is going to be imposed here. If there are other reasons for that, so with regards to offering some level of understanding towards a gag in this respect, so we should discuss that. Further on, we are going to discuss that internally as well, and I do think that we hope that we can come to an end and a vote on that within our constituency to put that into our comment. So this is the major concern we have. Thanks.
James, would you like me to respond quickly?
Yes, very briefly. I've got one other speaker in the queue, so if you could, thank you.
Sure. I think in response to both Paul and both Ulrich's point, yes, we do know that there's been a discussion in 2014, but the environment was different. So at the time when voting thresholds or rejection thresholds were discussed, that was in a phase where the U.S. government would still be the backstop. So we're now discussing a new accountability architecture in a post-transition world, and that required us to sit together with the GAC as well as with the other constituent parts of ICANN's community and find a solution on how to address also the concerns raised by governments when it comes to public policy issues. That is not to say that we maybe can tweak the language or add clarifications, but this is just to say that we are not now in reintroducing that was once rejected. The notion might look comparable, but the environment in which such a vote should take place is entirely different.
Okay, thanks, Thomas. Thank you. Ed, you're up next. Olivier is in the queue as well. I had closed the queue, Olivier, but we'll see if we can squeeze you in. But Ed, you're up next.
Thanks, James. And Thomas, it was 1 year, 8 days ago we started this voyage together. And just as a personal note at the top, I want to thank you for your consideration, your professionalism, and the enormous amount of time you put into this project. It is very much appreciated. I want to echo Paul's comments about the truncated public comment period. It's not right. It's not reasonable. And we're having great difficulty in the NCSG in being able to get responses from our members in China, in Francophone Africa. So what I'm about to tell you about our general support for this package, for this proposal, is predicated on the basis that we don't get contributions for them over the weekend and into next week, which causes us to rethink our positions. What I can tell you, again, because of the time factor, we'll just try to get to the basic facts, is we can largely support the third draft report. The non-commercial community does have problems with recommendations 1, 10, and 11. I guess at this stage, because of the time factor, you'll have to read about our reasoning in our public comment, but I think as terms of a theme, you can take this for what it is. We don't believe we started the accountability process to empower governments, and we think that generally in recommendations 1 and 11, we're doing that. But what I want to send you away with, Thomas, as a message from the non-commercial community, though, is this.
It's a concern we have. It's what's dominating our conversation and, indeed, many of the conversations around the community. We generally support this plan, but if in response to the board comments, and I know we say they're just one equal component, but I recall wandering into Dublin's meetings, having membership, which I fought for, ripped from under me because of the board comments. So the message I want to say, I want to make it really clear, very emphatic. If there is backtracking on inspection, if there is backtracking on human rights, if there is backtracking on limiting the mission statement, then you cannot expect to have the support of the non-commercial community on the final product. Man, I want this to work. I think of Mandela when he said, it seems impossible until it's done. We're close. But I would ask that you, Matt Tao, Leon, and the leadership of the CCWG stay firm. And if the board really believes that expanding the commitment to transparency to the level of a normal California PBC or reducing the commitment to human rights or expanding the mission of ICANN, if they believe that's in the public interest, let them make that decision, let them state that publicly, and then let's go into consultation. Thanks very much.
James, may I respond?
Yes, quickly, Thomas.
Yes. I'll be brief. Certainly, there's a lot to say in response to Ed, but let me not forget to thank you for your kind words at the beginning of your intervention. And you know that you are a vital part of this group as a very active and thoughtful contributor. With respect to the length of the public comment period, this is a stretch for everyone. We understand this, but there's always a crunch towards the end of a bigger project, even for smaller projects at times. What we would like to remind everyone of is that the third report pretty much builds, I'd say 85% of the report are ideas that are around for more than half a year, that have undergone public comment periods as well. And we've taken huge efforts in the report drafting to highlight those areas of change. We've conducted three webinars with translations to all UN languages plus Portuguese. We've done visualizations in our report to help the understanding of our recommendations. You might remember that we issued an update document, a 30-pager, explaining in plain language what we're doing. So we're trying to do what we can in order to make the recommendations as accessible as can be. With respect to the substance of your concerns, which you outlined and echoed, let me say that this is for the CCWG to discuss. If the CCWG and the chartering organizations come to a point where they say, well, there might be concerns in the areas that the board raises or in the area that other contributors raise, but if the chartering organizations do not share the view that offering inspection rights or adding human rights to the bylaw would be detrimental to the global public interest, then by all means the group should say so and offer an explanation why we think that would not be the case. And as said, the board has offered their current state of their current view on our recommendations, but there has not been a formal vote. Crocker, Steve spoke about consensus in the board, but we've seen previously that this is dependent on what the board is being presented with. So let's do our work. Let's work according to plan. Let's focus on offering a rationale for what we're doing in the areas where necessary, and then ultimately the board will need to decide whether it shares the community's views or not. But I think it would be premature to say now that we, I think the words that you were saying, that we surrender to what the board says, that would be far from the truth. We are working according to our charter and according to the plan that we agreed with all of you.
That's great to hear, Thomas. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Thomas. Olivier, very quickly, last word, please.
Thank you very much, James. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking, and I thank you for being able to sneak me in the queue quickly. I just wanted to let you know that the ALAC has been having countless hours of conference calls in the past week, not only with the ALAC members themselves, but also with the different regional at-large organizations. We are trying to identify what our red lines are. There are some points in the final proposal which we're not too happy with, but it wouldn't stop us from ratifying the proposal at the end. Understanding that this was a group effort with the multi-stakeholder model, with everyone finding some kind of agreement. But there are a few points which would be red lines, and we will be mentioning those in the response that we will be getting in the public comment period. We have big problems with getting people to participate, such as the short amount of time that we have. So if there was an extension, we would really, really support that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Olivier. And I'm just trying to summarize here what we've got, because we're way over time. You know, it's part of the GNSO Council culture now to run over. But Thomas, you know, I think that the answer is that this work is front and center for all of the groups and individuals in the GNSO. It is something that we are working on very diligently. However, given the compressed time frame, I do not think it's realistic to expect that you will have any sort of formal feedback from the GNSO as a chartering organization by December 21st. You may receive feedback from individual stakeholder groups, individual constituencies as part of the public comment period, and certainly we will continue to work at the GNSO, at the council level and within those constituent bodies to synthesize all of those concerns, which I think are shared to a large extent across the GNSO, and we'll get those into a consolidated document, you know, as soon as possible. But again, I do not think you should expect those by Monday. With that, I would just echo, go ahead, Thomas.
No, I just wanted to thank you very much for your time and for having me.
Oh, yeah, and I did the same. Thank you very much for joining us, for giving us the update, for answering questions, and I know you have a party to get back to, and it's one of your rare moments of leisure over the last year, and you certainly have earned it. So please drop a call and don't think about us for a few hours. I would just note for the council that we have one untouched item on our agenda. We have item 9 on the new detail of the auction proceeds. We have item 10 on AOB. I will take those to the list today or Friday, so please watch for those. We will continue this work on the list. As far as the CCWG, I've scheduled time to chat with Marika this afternoon, but right now I'm keeping my boss waiting, so I need to jump. But we are going to continue to work this issue, including hammering out a high-level process by which the GNSO itself will submit a formal consideration of the CCWG report. But again, I don't think that, to echo what's been expressed here by just about everyone, I don't think that the time frame that lies in front of us is realistic. So with that, I would say thank you, everyone, for sticking with us for the extra 20 minutes. Certainly appreciate your dedication. Thanks for bearing with me my first time out, and I think in the future we'd look for others to take the lead, like you know, we've planned for the vice chairs and other counselors to lead as well. This is not a monologue. Okay, thank you, everyone, and with that, if there are no objections or any other items, we'll close the call. And Glenn, you can stop the recording.
Thank you, James. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, James. We will please stop the recording.
Thank you. I will drop, and I will circle back with staff as soon as I'm able.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.